We are in the middle of this great church-wide study called Believe, and it is 30 big ideas from the Bible, 10 essential practices, 10 key beliefs, which we're doing right now, and 10 core values, okay? It's been a great journey for our church, I think, and for our families to have the conversation each week about each of these core ideas in the Bible as connection groups together as followers of Christ. So I begin today with a question. Have you ever been asked to take care of something for somebody else? Maybe to babysit or house sit. You know, once I asked my mom to keep my collection of Star Wars action figures when I went off to college. Now, unfortunately, when she moved houses in the middle of all that, she left them in the attic of the old house. Yeah, they would be worth a lot today. Don't laugh, okay? Those things would be worth a lot today. So, and obviously, 20 years later, I still haven't forgiven her for being a bad steward of my Star Wars toys. But that's today's topic, and believe, stewardship. And at its most basic, it means taking care of something for someone else. Our key verse is Psalm 24. Verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Our key idea is that I believe everything I am and everything I own belongs to God. And our key question is, what is God's call in my life? And what a big, important question. What is God's call in my life? How would you answer that question? I know that I want my life to have an impact for God's kingdom. I want to make a difference. How about you? And this is Jesus calling for us. He sums it up really well in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No, instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So what's God's call in our lives? To bring him glory and praise by serving him and blessing others and letting our light shine. Yes, that's the big picture level. God's call on my life and yours is whatever he wants to do to bring himself glory and draw people closer to him. What about specifics, though? How is there a specific calling for you? I believe there is. And I want to highlight just briefly a few clues that could help you discover your calling, okay? We all have a story first. What is your story that God can use to bless others and help them to grow? You are unique, okay? Are you living out loud the story God is wanting to tell in your life, okay? That leads to secondly, we all have a struggle. What have you suffered through? What have you struggled through or grown past that has uniquely equipped you to be able to comfort others, to encourage them, or to help them get through the same kind of life challenge? We have a struggle. Are you putting your struggle to good use? Sometimes we don't think about it that way, but at Celebrate Recovery, we like to say that God never wastes a hurt. If we will even submit our pain and our struggle to him, he can use it in our lives and in others. So if you've overcome a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, a hard time in life, and you'd like to get involved, come join us at our Celebrate Recovery ministry. Help out with one of our other support groups we have as well, and let God use that struggle to bless others, okay? Are you willing to allow God to use even your struggles? So we have a story, we have a struggle, but we also all have a passion stirring within us. What are you passionate about? What gets your heart pumping? Do you love to work in the garden? How can God use that to bless others? Do you love to play basketball or ride motorcycles or work on classic cars? How could you make that into a mission or a ministry opportunity? Are you an animal lover? Well, there's probably no hope for you. I'm kidding. There's probably some way God can use that too. Does your heart go out to any certain situation or problem or people that you could serve? Where does your passion and your heart go? Ask God, how can you use this, God? Go for it. God may have given you that passion, and it may be a clue to your calling for mission and service. And a final clue to help us discover our calling is we all have gifts and abilities that God can use, obviously. But quite frankly, let me ask, are you using the gifts and abilities that God has given you to serve God or just yourself and your own interests? It's a question of stewardship as well, okay? And so those abilities are also a clue to your calling. Let me give you an example from my own life, and actually it's part of the story of this church. Okay. Many of you know I was a missionary on that Uganda mission team that originally went in 1997. And let me tell you, missions was a clear, compelling calling in my life, but it didn't happen in one moment. But it did grow, and every step of the way, God made the calling clearer. And by the time I was in college, I joined a prayer group with a couple other guys, and we started praying together the most dangerous, powerful prayer you could ever possibly pray. And that prayer was, God, show us what you want to do in our lives. God, what do you want to do with our lives? Well, out of that, God formed a team, and we began to recognize a specific calling to do church planting mission work in Africa. But Africa is a big place. How do we get there? We didn't have the kind of money it takes to do that. We were living on ramen noodles. We were college students, right? Remember those days? Well, guess what? Guess who owns all the money in the world? God does. So we began to ask God, God, make a way. We also began to ask God to make clear where exactly he wanted us to move and plant churches. And we needed it to be a unanimous thing that we all felt the same calling to the same place, but we couldn't actually get to consensus of some of the different places we had surveyed and looked at, and it was just a rough process. And finally we said, let's stop talking about it. Let's stop worrying about it. We're going to pray for like 3 months or something like that, and we're going to just ask God, let make it clear. At the end of that time, we came together. We said, anyone feel a leading? It was unanimous, Uganda. Unanimous. Meanwhile, as our team was wrestling with these questions, there was this church in Sugar Land, Texas. Perhaps you've heard of it, the First Colony Church of Christ. And the mission committee and the elders here were also praying. We didn't know, but they were asking God's leading on how to support missions. And they were asking, how can we be good, faithful stewards of what God has given us as a church in missions? The week after our team got that unanimous calling to Uganda, I literally received a call, not from God, but from a guy some of you know named Jerry Morris, who was on the mission committee. And he said, I'm calling on behalf of the mission committee, and we heard you guys have a mission team. We'd like to talk to you. And he said, I kid you not, by the way, where are you guys going? And I said, Uganda. Of course. And so we came here to interview. You know, and everyone was so impressed with our rugged good looks and our astounding intellect that we just teamed up. It seemed an obvious thing to do. No, God brought us together, this church and that team. And let me tell you, we didn't know you guys. You didn't know us, okay? I mean, you're still stuck with me, but that's Ronnie's fault and the elders' fault for hiring me a second time. They knew what they were getting into. But God, the owner of everything, he used us together and is still using the team there and the Ugandans there to accomplish his mission. And the impact you've made there is eternal, okay? So thank you for being that kind of church that listens to God's call as stewards of God's resources. Of course, as we just mentioned earlier, next week is Mission Sunday, and I want to thank you in advance for giving. I can tell you from vast personal experience what it means and what it does. And it's vital and it's important, and please prayerfully consider what you can give to the missions offering, which will be a special offering apart from our regular offering next week, okay? One more Uganda story that also involves First Colony. Remember Hurricane Ike in 2008? And after that hurricane hit, your Ugandan brothers and sisters in Christ heard about what had happened in Houston and the devastation, and so they sent $21.96 to First Colony. Now, that's more than a month's worth of offerings for those churches, okay? One of their leaders, Richard Cuyamba, said, it's not much money, but we had to show them how we love them, how we feel about them, and that we are with them. The story was run actually in the Houston Chronicle. And in that article, Ronnie Norman quoted saying, it was the most beautiful and generous gift our church ever received. And he's right. One of our elders suggested that we use that and we kind of ask God to grow that and to have a special contribution after that, and everyone bring $21.96 or some multiplication of it. And many of you participated in that. And at that special offering for the Hurricane Ike flood relief, over $40,000 was raised. That's an amazing thing. And that's not what we did. That's not even what the Ugandans did. That's what God did when we and they were good stewards giving from the heart. Do you see that? So my question for you today is, what can God do with your $21.96? What can God do with your $21.96 today? And what might God lead you to if you begin praying that dangerous prayer of, God, what do you want me to do with my life? as your steward of what you've given me to answer your calling. To me, that story of 2196, it almost seems like a Bible story, almost, the way that, and it kind of is very much like some stories in the Bible. If you check out 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in the first few verses, Paul is writing about churches in an area called Macedonia, and those Macedonian churches were very poor, and yet they still wanted to take place in an offering. Paul, the missionary, as he traveled around, was taking an offering for the churches in Jerusalem who were going through a huge famine. And so Paul writes about these Macedonian churches and says this, starting in verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So our stewardship flows out of a heart that is receptive to God's calling, from a sense of being available to God and his mission. So I want to dig into this idea of stewardship a little more. And to be a steward is to be a manager of what God has given us. And guess what? We can be good or bad stewards. Okay? When I returned from Uganda in 2008, I then worked for this sketchy little outfit. You might have heard of it. It's called Chick-fil-A. And as a manager of that store, I was a steward. I was in charge of its operation, and the owner expected me to manage it well. That included being a good steward of the supplies, the money, the employee schedules, everything. And as such, I had to take inventory. And so, for instance, there was a weekly inventory of supplies. Well, I want to ask you, you should all know this, what's the most important supply in Chick-fil-A? Chicken. Thank you. Guess what? If you run out of chicken, it's a bad week at Chick-fil-A. Trust me, it's not a good day. And yes, it happened. That's another story for another day. So it was important as a manager that I be a good steward of that store. And I had to take inventory to do that. So I want us to take stock today. I want us to take inventory and ask ourselves, are we being good stewards of what God has given us, okay? Stewardship starts with our key idea, everything I am and everything I own belongs to God. My time, my talent, my testimony, my treasures, it all belongs to God. And so I'm going to ask some pointed questions of us, and myself included, about those four things. My time, am I redeeming it, making the most of it? Am I using it well? My talent and my abilities, am I using it well? Am I developing what I need to develop in my talent? Am I multiplying it where I can? My testimony, am I letting my light shine as an ambassador and witness for Jesus? Do I take advantage of the opportunity to be vocal about how important Jesus is to my life and how he's changed my life? God, if I guarantee you, if you pray, God, use me and give me opportunities to speak up and tell how Jesus has changed my life, those opportunities will come. Will you grab them? That's a good challenge. Do you know who is vocal about his faith? There's this guy, you might have heard of him. His name's Jose Altuve. You like that guy? You're about to like him a lot more, unless if you already do, if you've read the article I read. At 5'6", it says, Altuve has had to deal with more than his share of naysayers who told him he wasn't cut out for the big leagues. He persevered, and in spite of his critics, he now sits at the pinnacle of his sport, winning his first World Series. Altuve told the Houston Chronicle, to achieve success wasn't to get in the major leagues or to have the best season in the world. The best success is to live your life the way God wants you to. He's quoted in the Chronicle. He says, we need to not just ask God for things, but be thankful and thank him for everything, like our health, our family, and ask him to bless our homes, but also ask him to be present in our daily lives. Isn't that cool? I really like that guy. So our time, our talent, our testimony, and our treasures. Let's talk a little bit about money. Think about those Macedonian churches and the Christians that Paul wrote about there, and they didn't see giving as like a job or a requirement, but as a joy. Giving was a privilege and a joy. So I need to say, and I want to say to us today, that your generous spirit matters. Okay? Your help to those in need matters a lot. But also your church offering matters. Okay? In regards to giving at church, it's important that we intentionally plan for our regular, ordinary giving. Without it, the ministries of this church simply do not happen. Okay? And it's good to give. Did you know that? It's good for you. Because I want to be really clear. The love of money is a sin. And this sin can destroy you and corrupt your heart just like any other. Maybe more than most. And in fact, Luke 12:15, Jesus says, watch out, be on your guard against every kind of greed. Did you know that generosity is the secret weapon against greed? It really is. And so we give regularly and faithfully, but then we also should be open and ready to respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting for extraordinary giving, like Mission Sunday and flood relief and helping your neighbor and giving extra and helping extra wherever God leads you to do that as you encounter people in situations that need help. This principle of stewardship means that my money, my relationships, my family, my priorities, my opportunities, my body, my home, everything I have, all of it, it's not mine. It's His. Everything I am and everything I own belongs to God because He gave it to me. The question is, will I manage it well? And church, what a witness it would be. What a witness it would be if the world saw the followers of Jesus to be wise stewards rather than thoughtless consumers. What if we were the ones who lived a little different and it was very unique and, you know, noteworthy? They don't just spend. They are wise stewards. And what a wonderful countercultural way to show a better way of life to a world that needs to know. And parents, one of the best things you can do for your kids in this consumer-driven world is to model and teach good stewardship. It really is. So let's say it together, church. Okay, we're going to say everything I am and everything I have belongs to God. Let's do it. Everything I am and everything I own belongs to God. Well, that's really important, but I also kind of want to make another point today, which is don't allow your stuff to own you. All right? Don't allow your stuff to own you. Have you ever seen the VeggieTales animated cartoon series? Oh, we got some VeggieTales fans over here? That's the parents, not the kids. I see. Yeah. All right. So they're talking vegetables. There they are. It's genius if you've not seen it, okay? But just hang with me. My favorite one is Madame Blueberry. Anybody seen Madame Blueberry? All right. So she has a problem, though, is that she loves stuff. And she needs more of it. And she's jealous of her neighbor's stuff. And in fact, she has pictures of stuff she wants. And it's hung up in framed photos all around her house. And you're laughing, but we've all had this stuff problem, okay? And so, in fact, the local mega store called, what else? Stuff Mart. Yeah, and they send representatives to show her where she can get more glorious, wonderful stuff. And on her way to Stuff Mart, she happens to see this couple of modest means, and they don't have much money. They're having a simple birthday celebration for their daughter. And it's all they could afford, but Madame Blueberry hears the little girl sing this song.
I thank God for this day, for the sun in the sky, for my mom and my dad, for my piece of apple pie, for our home on the ground, for His love that's all around. That's why I say thanks every day, because a thankful heart is a happy heart. I'm glad for what I have, that's an easy way to start, for the love that He shares, 'cause He listens to my prayers. That's why I say thanks every day.
Isn't that great? Well, you can learn from talking vegetables, right? But hey, who doesn't want their kids singing that, you know? They don't have much, but they are thankful. They are thankful. Well, does Madame Blueberry learn her lesson? Does she find freedom from the tyranny of more stuff? Well, you're going to have to watch the episode to find out. I'm not going to tell you. But lucky for you, you can, because as our members here, you can watch it on our online Christian video library called Right Now Media, and VeggieTales is on there, and it's like the Netflix of Christian videos. So you should check that out. In fact, that's your homework from this message, okay? Watch Madame Blueberry, everyone. It'll be good for you, I promise. But this is really an essential thing, to not allow your stuff and our money and our possessions to own us. Don't even allow the desire for stuff to control us, because money and stuff will not make you happier. Money and stuff will not make you more important or more valued. Money and stuff won't make you more secure. It's a trap that Satan sets for us. It really is, and I bet a lot of us have wrestled with that trap. Ecclesiastes 5:10 tells us, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. And Jesus says in Matthew 6:19-21, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So how can we escape the tyranny of stuff? How can we get out of the trap of stuff, Martin? Be good stewards of what God's given to us. I want to give you four quick things that really help, okay? First, don't covet what you don't need or what you don't have. Second, be thankful for what you do have. Be thankful for what you do have. Because a thankful heart is a happy heart. Someone said that once. And then third, put it to good, godly use. Okay? Easy example, you have a home. Can we practice Christian hospitality? Can we invite our neighbors over for a meal? And what opportunities might arise from that? Can we host a connection group in our home? There are all kinds of things we can do with our home to bless others and be used. Another example, just one that comes off the top of my head, do you have an awesome barbecue grill in your backyard? Well, you can invite today's preacher over for steaks. Just as an idea, that's a great use for what you have. If you don't want to do that, it could be hamburgers, that's okay. Brisket's fine. It's your choice. Put it to good, godly use, okay? And then to escape the trap of stuff, the most extreme thing we need to do sometimes is give it away. Give it away, okay? All of these are simple things, but they are simply, profoundly true, and we know it. Well, as I close, I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine that I take my daughter out on one of our daddy-daughter dates, and we go to one of our favorite fancy restaurants, McDonald's. Yeah, I know I'm setting the bar high, right? I'm setting the bar high. Well, we go to get some French fries, and we hop in the car, and her lips are smacking. She can already taste those fries. And when we arrive, being the fantastic, health-minded dad that I am, I say, let's supersize it. So we get to the table, and I'm so happy just to share this time with my girl. And in this perfect moment of food and fellowship and fatherhood, I reach over to grab some fries, and what does she do? Mine. Imagine, she didn't really do this, but mine. And she makes a little fort with her hands and says, these are mine. And I'm thinking, wait, what? She doesn't realize that I'm the source of those fries. I paid for them, and I gave her more than she expected even. In fact, I can take it back, can't I? And if I want, I can go get more. I can get all the fries in the world, you know, according to her. I mean, I can get more than I can eat. But that's not really why I want the French fries. It's not that I want French fries. I want the fellowship. I want the relationship. And I want her to be willing to share in the very blessings that I've provided. Got it, church? God blesses us. And his desire is not that we hoard those blessings, whether it be, you know, time, talent, treasure, or testimony, but he wants us to use them and share them. It's not mine, it's his. It's all God's, and we are called to be good stewards of those resources. Will you waste it, or will you use it well? Will I be a consumer, or will I be a good steward? Will my life be about getting more or giving more? Let's examine ourselves. Church, let's take inventory today. And of course, as you do that, remember that we are saved and forgiven and brought back into fellowship with God because Jesus didn't consider his life to be his own. Everything about his life was not his own, and he allowed it to be used for God's plan and purpose, and we benefit. We benefit because he didn't consider it his own. And he's invited us into that life and into that mission and into that calling. Will we accept the call?